You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, the Cleveland Browns annual blood drive in association with Cuyahoga Community College, is coming Saturday, August 1st, to a location near you in partnership with the American Red Cross. It is your chance to donate blood at one of 12 locations across northern Ohio. Donors will receive a commemorative, as I like to say, t-shirt while supplies last. Be a part of the First and 10 movement to help make your community better. Schedule your appointment. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS and mention sponsor code Browns. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, joined now for the roundtable by senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, Andrew Gribble, and the king of all media, Kevin Jones.
Trying so hard.
KJ, welcome, gentlemen. Guys, I got to ask, though, no bucket hat out there today. What's the deal?
You know, I thought about it this morning. I was actually going to make a stop on my way home last night to get some kind of headgear for today. Didn't have time. And I don't think I paid the price too much today because I was rocking some SPF 70 sunscreen.
Solid.
Good. Gribble is not a bucket hat guy. I just don't see that. That's not your style.
He could do it. Don't pigeonhole him.
I might have to, like, you know, wean my way into it with a baseball hat and see where we go.
For me, I need the sun. You don't get it here. I'm used to having the summer in D.C. and it being hot. So a little sweat today, I liked it.
Yeah, I don't want. I'm not afraid of a little sweat, but I'm just saying, you know, I like the bucket hat strength, Cam. It's the bucket hat movement.
I guess so. I've never been a bucket hat guy.
As a player?
No.
You know, it's funny. I mean, with that conditioning test yesterday, literally every player was wearing a bucket hat.
Because they willingly put a bucket hat in everyone's locker.
Yeah, but you can opt to wear it or opt not.
Right. It's good.
This year's team is a much higher percentage of bucket hat believers than last year's.
Yeah, I have a bucket hat.
Pat was wearing one today.
Was up with that? It didn't even look like
camouflage one. It was he was wearing sleeves under a jacket. He had like 8 layers on.
We need an examination on the coach wardrobe. I've seen coaches wear sweatshirts in 95 degree weather.
That's what you could. You should start like best dressed of the NFL head coaches.
I think Mike Tomlin would be number one. He always wears like a dry fit.
He wears sweatpants every day.
Yeah. I've seen him in shorts.
Okay.
That's what's great about working in the NFL.
Okay.
You only wear slacks on Sundays.
That's right. And they wear khakis. They wear khakis on Sundays, which I don't have for Dog Pound Report.
Yes, you do.
No, I'm not. I'm going to wear jeans.
Okay. Well, I'll follow the leader.
It's a polo shirt.
I don't think I've ever seen you in jeans.
I just wear jeans when I go out. I only wear shorts or sweats.
Nathan has the jeans with like the designs on the back, like the little squiggly lines.
No.
You do.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about like the jeans that like the fancy
that
jeans
you would buy at the Buckle.
I don't have any fancy jeans. I'm a very modest man. I believe my favorite pair of jeans I have right now are from Gap. I do have one pair of Rockin' Republic. That's probably what you're talking about. But I don't even know what that means. I was just told.
Let's get into training camp.
Let's go.
It's a
great roundtable.
All right.
Training camp roundtable. This is a fashion roundtable transitioning into training camp roundtable. We talked about our thoughts, your guys' thoughts. Start with you, Gribbs.
Well, you know, I think it was kind of a carryover from what we saw a lot of at OTAs, and that's because they weren't in pads yet. So I think it's like Saturday is when things will start to maybe look a little different. I think clearly what stood out to me today was kind of what we might have expected with Terrell Pryor being there, and that fans were pretty excited about him being out there. It seemed like anytime he was doing anything, someone was clapping out there, and I thought he handled himself pretty well. And I think the defense continues to stand out to me, and I think it's just at this stage of camp, and I think in general, the defense is just a lot deeper than the offense. I think you made a comment earlier about just the defensive second-team defensive line versus second-team offensive line. It's just that's a tough matchup because you got guys that are going to be rotating in, getting a lot of snaps this season versus some of the guys that won't be playing all that much this season. So, you know, I think that's stood out to me. I think the offense is still kind of finding their way. But I think they'll start clicking a little bit more as the rust gets shaken off.
KJ?
I think Terrell Pryor's arrival has widened some eyes in that room. I saw Travis Benjamin, you know, hustling today. I saw a lot of guys really trying to say, hey, I'm here too. I'm still a receiver on this team. I still caught big passes last year. So I think the competition actually in the receiver room is much more friskier than the running backs because those guys are going to get their touches. Their spot's really up for grab here at receiver, and I don't think anyone's penciled in right now at 4, 5, 6 there. That could be really anyone. So that's what I noticed. A lot of short passes today. Really, I didn't see – I think the offense was elementary today, just kind of first day back at school. This is what we're doing. I think we'll see more throughout the week. And then Joe Hayden said something that stood out to me. This team's going to rely on the defense to win games, and they know that. They're fine with winning games 13-10. Joe Hayden said, if the offense has to lean on us, we're ready for that. We don't care. We want to win games how we're going to win them, and if it's defense, we'll do it that way.
What I also noticed Travis Benjamin, by the way, getting after it today. He looked like he was had an extra
Well, he
gear.
Had a very gingerly OTA and minicamp session,
he
barely
did.
Participating in anything, so it's football. We have to go play. So get healthy and get out there, or else
yes.
you'll be on the streets.
We talked earlier about three things, but as now we're here in the round table, playing off of what they said or anything else that kind of pops to your mind about what you saw.
No, I was actually just going to ask, the focus of this football team, and we will go as far as our quarterback will take us. Just your first impressions of both Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel day one.
I thought Josh McCown kind of picked up where he left off. I thought he was steady. I don't think he made 100% of his throws. I think there were some that were missed and some that were dropped, but I think he continues to kind of show that command out there. You always hear him. He's kind of the loudest voice on the field out there, because Petton's not much of a big yeller or anything like that, so you always hear the Josh McCown voice. And I think as like OTAs he got better, I think as it went on, and I think he'll probably be even in better shape tomorrow. I think we all kind of saw it. I think Johnny struggled early on in those 11-on-11s, had maybe held on to the ball a little too long, had some passes batted down, and it's something that he's got to make the second team unit around him better. That's what a quarterback is
he
tasked
does.
To do. And I think, last year he was splitting first team repetitions, and this year he's working kind of with the second team. So if he wants to stand out, he's got to kind of embrace that unit and elevate their play.
To me, if we're going to talk about competition and Johnny continues to struggle, you have to look at Connor Shaw getting some second team reps. If we saw what today continues, because he threw incompletions, he was getting sacked when there was really no pressure. I mean, Johnny will be the first to admit he had a bad day of practice.
Right.
It's day one.
But it's in exactly that point I want to interject here and just go, at what point, because you've used a first-round draft pick on this guy, at what point can you potentially move Johnny to essentially 2B and Connor Shaw being the 2A, getting a significant portion of those reps?
Some people say this is a pipe dream. I'm seeing this out there with my eyes.
A pipe dream for you. You love Johnny. You're already gone.
I'm just
going to be the greatest quarterback in the world a year ago this time.
I make mistakes. We all.
So you're done. You're
no.
You're
I'm not. I'm
done.
Not. I'm not writing Johnny off at all. But I'm saying if we're going to be true to competition, and Mike Pettine's going to say the best players are going to play, and if Johnny's going to continue to go out there and not execute, and Connor is with the third team, at some point you have to say, is Connor a viable backup option? I don't know. I think you might have to see some of that in practice if Johnny continues struggling.
The good news is he came back. His second sequence was much better than his first sequence, so that was impressive. He had the nice throw to Kevin Cohn. Vince Maley should have caught that one, which he dropped. So he got better. Connor Shaw is going to look, I think, especially against third team, he's going to look good, because mentally I think he's very cerebral. He knows what to do with the football. He's going to make good decisions with it. He's accurate, even though his arm is not, I would say, NFL caliber. But I think it's going to be a long time before you do that. At the end of minicamp, there wasn't really much of a comparison, at least in my mind. And I think if you go day-to-day
intensity
with
much
it,
different now. There's fans out there. It's a
sure,
different feel.
But you got ultimately the goal. Let's put it this way, okay? When you're saying the things that you're saying, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Connor Shaw. Johnny Manziel's got the ceiling that if he gets it, that's why you drafted him in the first round. I mean, there's a reason that Connor Shaw went undrafted as a quarterback in the National Football League, despite being a stud and one of my favorite college players at the University of South Carolina.
At some point, I just stopped looking at Texas A&M and South Carolina tape.
I don't care about that at all.
Those images have left my head. And when I think of Johnny, I think of Cincinnati last year, and I think of missteps in practice right now. And can my mind change? Yes, it can.
Yes.
But at this point, it's worth discussing on the radio the backup quarterback position.
I don't think that's think that's being a discussion for them, because you need to find out what you have in Johnny.
You need to find out. And I think also what comes into play is the investment of what you put into each of these players.
Sure.
It has to carry weight the same way it does for a stockbroker. Am I enamored with my penny stock going crazy, i.e. the undrafted free agent, or am I overly concerned with my blue chip stock not doing what I was sold to do?
I heard Mike Pettine say draft status doesn't matter. We're going to play the best 53 players.
That's fine. It definitely matters. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a draft in every round. There would be no rounds. It'd be you just pick players out of a hat.
Hey, I'm not writing Johnny off by any means at all. I'm a big fan of his.
So negative, though.
No,
I think Johnny's doing something clearly right, whether behind the scenes, because we've seen he's clearly the number two, and I think Mike Pettine has said over and over again he is the number two guy, and I think he will get better as training camp goes on, just like we saw him get better as OTAs went on. And I think Pat made a good point earlier this week about how the reps they were doing in OTAs weren't even like plays they were going to run during the year. They just wanted to get certain things on tape, like certain motions, certain shifts and things like that. They want to get on tape, and then now they're getting into the stuff that they're probably going to be running more in the season.
I'll point out Crow had a couple fumbles today too. I'm not just piling on Johnny here.
Crow did. And to me, if he started doing it in the team session, I'd be more concerned. But yeah, he's got to take care of the football. That was a knock on him last year. If he wants to start and be the primary ball carrier, he's got to take care of the football. First day of camp, so stuff that they do have to clean up. Who was one guy? We'll go around. One guy that maybe you weren't expecting to stand out, that just kind of, you said, oh, caught your eye and stood out today, Gribbs.
Well, you know, I was focusing on I was looking at the defense, and just to see Armani Bryant out there and really getting after it. We've been working mostly on the defensive line. We've yet to really see that potential hybrid role on the field yet, but it was just kind of a good sight to see, because he was kind of more off to the sidelines during 11-on-11s during the spring. And if you get him involved in the defense and playing at a high level, that gives you such a good pass rushing element, both in the defense line and potentially as that stand-up hybrid. So he was some guy that caught my attention.
And he was a stud of the offseason last year.
He was.
If you are a hardcore Browns fan, go to the team shop, order number 54 jersey right now, Scott Solomon. This guy is flying around everywhere on the edge, setting it in the run game. He might sack quarterbacks too. He might earn third down reps too. So Scott Solomon, to me, day one, there was a reason this guy took every first-team rep in minicamp and OTAs. Obviously, Mingo was hurt, but I think they found a little hidden gem here in Scott Solomon.
I agree. Scott Solomon's a guy, when you threw out this topic, Nathan, and you've mentioned it time and time again that he got first-team reps. He got, and in his second-team reps, he didn't take those for granted, still continued to progress, still had the high motor, was very disruptive on a few of those Johnny reps in the team reps that he was getting with the second-teamers. The backside screen, you know, he put pressure, would have sacked Johnny Manziel before he got rid of the football. On an inside move that puts the tackle in a quandary of who to pick up, he came free, very disruptive, right in Johnny Manziel's face. And then he almost, so much so that Johnny almost threw an interception. So I would say after day one, if he can sustain that motor and grab and latch on and grow in this system, he is a guy that could potentially start opposite Paul Kruger.
He got a lot of first-team reps today opposite Paul
Kruger.
One
thing about Solomon, too, this is his first time ever playing in a 3-4. High school, college, he went to Rice, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This fits him. When I talked to him, he said, I like the 3-4. It feels comfortable.
He looked good. Nate Orchard also looked good. I'm going to talk Dwayne Bowe, because you didn't really see him open it up, and I think today he opened it up a little bit. Just, is he going to be open? Not very often, but is he going to catch football anyway? I think you saw that today.
It's his positioning.
He uses his body so well.
He's like a craftsman, like finding ways to get open. And another guy I'll throw out there is another veteran, Tremon Williams. Basically because in minicamp, I think those last few days he was nursing a minor injury. But him out there, he was making a bunch of plays. And you can just tell his teammates just love him. I mean, like, he made one play and they went nuts as if he was like an undrafted rookie or something like that. I mean, this is a legitimate number two cornerback to have on your team, a guy that's been a number one cornerback for like the last 8 years.
And very physical.
And guys, you know what this does and why they're so excited is it gives you a snapshot of what it's going to look like on Sundays. You know, albeit, you know, not yet in pads and the first day of training camp and guys are still trying to get their legs under each other. But that hype, you know, that excitement for him as a player, as you said, for an undrafted free agent guy who finally gets a game and gets a basket in that charity basketball game, whatever it might be, they're getting a snapshot of what it's going to look like, because they know what they have in Joe Hayden. And if they can get what they're seeing out of Tremon Williams opposite him, that too is why this defense will be so great.
I agree. With those two playing lockdown on the outside, just going to free up a lot of things, a lot of blitz packages, and a lot of things that defense can do in the graduate level, as Jim O'Neill likes to say. Gentlemen, thank you very much. They've got you covered with absolutely everything. Kevin Jones, top five observations from camp. We'll be up there today, clevelandbrowns.com, and, of course, the Browns mobile app. The Gribbs got you covered there. So follow him on Twitter, @Andrew_Gribble, @Mr_KevinJones, and get the app so you have right in the palm of your hand all the great content as they keep you covered live all the time on what's going on here with the Browns in training camp 15. All right, when we come back, final thoughts from Matt Wilhelm and yours truly as we wrap it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.